I don't think I ever had an introduction quite like that. All glory to the Lord. Thank you so much for your words of encouragement to all of you. First of all, I also want to say that I am so happy for all of you who have come and set apart time to come. And it's just a great honor and a great blessing for you to do that. Realize there's any number of things that you could be doing these days, but you decided and you felt led of the Lord to come. And so I believe that all of us are here by divine appointment. Amen? And I want to give a special thanks to Alan and Rose Chambers. Are they in the room? They're not in... Oh, okay, there's Rose. And this is the first year you won't have me come down the basement and be policing you to come upstairs and move here and move there. I've been liberated from that responsibility of administration. A cold winter night, Alan and Rose came over to our house one night. We had supper together, and then we passed on the mantle of administration for KLN to them and have walked with them somewhat through this. But they have done a marvelous job, and I think that this booklet that they have prepared is just an amazing booklet. And I pray that every one of you will read every page in this book, because there's a lot of work went into this. But more than that, there's a lot of information. Is this sounding right? It sounds kind of loud, or is it okay? Okay. There's a lot in here. Reports from the various networks. And so I just want to encourage all of you to take the time. We are trying to be good stewards of our finance, and so we have made one copy per couple, and then other individuals who come, each person should receive a copy. So I'm trusting that that will be possible. So thanks, and we just thank you, worship team, and E. Daniel, and everyone for your leadership here in the evening so far. And to Pastor Mel, thanks so much for opening up this church to us. It's a great blessing. I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 63. Psalm chapter 63. And I'm going to ask Stacy Gibson from Good News Christian Church to come and read the scripture, Psalm 63, verse 1 to 8. Oh, is there a microphone?
I'm reading from the NIV version. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the riches of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of my wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Praise be to God.
Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Loving Father, we bow before you with deep gratitude and tremendous praise for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, Lord, that in your sovereign grace and will, we are gathered here tonight from various places on this earth. And we thank you, Lord, that your Spirit reigns among us. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us tonight and encourage us, but also convict us and motivate us to move on in the call that you have for not only Kingdom Life Network, but for each of us individually and the congregations that we serve. We thank you, Lord, and we bless and praise your holy name. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. My message this evening will be divided into three parts. And when I was thinking, and the three parts could actually seem a little bit disconnected, but you're going to see how they actually come together. And when I was thinking about these three parts, I remembered many years ago I was in Germany at a conference, and Brother Leo was my interpreter, and this speaker was going on and on and on, and after a while he was trying to simultaneously translate the message, and that can get a little burdensome after a while, particularly you're just kind of leaning, speaking to the person next to you. And after a while, Henry said, he's starting now his third sermon. And I'm not going to preach three sermons tonight. It'll be one. But I think that you'll see how these points come together. I knew I was going to speak for several weeks or months, and I was praying about this for a long time, and just asking God, what do you want to say? And up until a week ago, it still was unclear to me. I had some things going through my mind and heart, but it was still unclear to me. And then last Wednesday evening at this very same time, we were over, some of us were gathered for prayer over at Lifegate, and especially praying for this conference. And toward the end, they laid hands on me and prayed for me for a word, a message. And praise the Lord, the very next day, things just started to come into focus. So tonight, the Lord gave me three words. Number one is priorities. Number two is purpose. And number three is passion. First of all, priorities, purpose, and passion. Now, when I talk about priorities here tonight, first of all, I was just going to share that as overseers of the Kingdom Life Network, the members of the team, I invited them to share, what do you feel are some of the priorities for Kingdom Life going forward? And we came up with about 10 and several subpoints underneath that. I'm not going to share all that tonight. It'd be too cumbersome and would not be too effective at this moment. But I think that when we analyzed it together, when we kind of summarized it, we felt like there needs to be more frequent contact. Priority should be more frequent contact, particularly among the leaders of the network. But that doesn't have to be exclusively just the leaders. There can be interaction throughout the network, and we want to look for creative ways for that to happen. Also, there was really strong encouragement. It should be a high priority to have more teams involved in going to different parts. We have outstanding or ongoing invitations to go to Kenya, to go to India, people who could be gifted in particular areas to be involved in that, so we want to do that. There's also seemed to be a high concern or high priority for sharing, writing different people in the network. The Holy Spirit inspires them with different words, and there can be a way. Now, we have established a brand new website, and again, Rose and Alan are responsible for that. It's KLNChristianMinistries.com, and if you've not gone there yet, you should. It's a developing website, but there's quite a bit on there already. And so we will use the website as a means of facilitating moving forward in these priorities. And then fourthly, and that's all the further I'll go with this point, particularly KLN priorities. Fourthly, we feel like there needs to be, it's very important that we raise up younger leaders within the network. How many in this room tonight are 40 or younger? Would you please stand? 40 or younger, would you please stand? Well, praise the Lord for all these who are here. Sonia, I thought you were about 30. You're not? Okay, I guess with five, that's enough. Okay, so praise the Lord for all the younger generation who are here, but our vision, our goal is to really see this grow, to develop and enhance. So when we set priorities for life personally and for our ministry, it is very important. Because if we set priorities, then we will be able to be more effective in our ministry. Because what happens if we don't set priorities, if we don't set specific goals, we find ourselves always meeting the need of the urgent. Like there's always demands placed upon us. And so, yes, these things are going to come upon our life, even if we set priorities, but we need to seek God in doing that. Also, we live under a lot of pressure, another P word, and it's crucial that we have priorities. So our priorities determine how we spend our time and to whom, with whom we spend our time and how to make decisions. That's very important. And I think setting right priorities keeps you from being battered around by the waves of pressure and helps you to enter a clear course toward the proper destination. And so godly priorities, they're crucial. They're important. I want to challenge all of us tonight just to think about what are the priorities that God has called for us in our life personally. We know that Jesus, and for the ministries that we serve, we know that Jesus set right priorities. In Luke 13:31-32, it says, one time, Jesus, just at that time, some Pharisees approached Jesus, saying to him, go away, leave here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I reach my goal. We know that Jesus said, I do nothing apart from which the Father tells me. I think somebody already said that here this evening. And so Jesus knew what his set priorities were. He came to fulfill the Father's will. And so I believe in this day and age in which we're living, it's important for us, if we're going to be effective, if we're going to be doing that which the Father wants us to do, then we need to take the time to listen. We need to hear what God is saying to us and what he wants us to do. Amen. Okay, that's priorities. We're already on to point number two, the second P word, purpose. Now, we are Kingdom Life Network. And so I believe our purpose is, in this context, is to live a kingdom lifestyle. Our purpose is to live a kingdom lifestyle. And so I thought it'd be good to reflect a bit on our name and what it means. And so I believe that a high priority in our life should be to become more knowledgeable of the kingdom of God and live a kingdom lifestyle. Those in the HFC network have heard me talk about the kingdom and preach about the kingdom quite a bit. For me personally, a personal revelation of the kingdom came, I don't know, maybe about 10, 11, 12 years ago. Millie and I were one March attending Christian retreat in Florida. It's Gerald Durstein. It's a camp there. And so we drove up there one Wednesday night from Sarasota because we heard of Miles Monroe. How many of you ever heard of him? The late Miles Monroe. Unfortunately, he was killed in an airplane accident. But nevertheless, we went up there, and there's this massive auditorium, about 500 seats, but there was about 50 people there that night. And Miles got up to speak, and he didn't really preach. I guess you would say maybe he taught, but he had PowerPoint, and he just went through scripture after scripture after scripture about the kingdom of God. Through the Gospels, I don't know how many scriptures we looked at that night. Maybe, I don't know, but he was talking for at least an hour and a half, telling some stories and so forth along the way. But you know, that night, there was an impartation. There was a revelation that came to me about the kingdom of God. And so from that time forward, I felt one of my great passions in life is to teach and to preach about the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? Broadly speaking, the kingdom of God is the rule of an eternal sovereign God over the entire universe. Psalm 103:19 says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Hallelujah. So when we look at the world today and we see all the chaos and all the turmoil and we see just the governments at odds with each other, nuclear warfare and terrorism, all these threats that are coming upon us, I thank God tonight that we serve a God who is sovereign over all, that his kingdom rules over all. And the Bible says one day every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Muhammad will bow down. Every terrorist will bow down. You know, for years, I used to pray for Osama bin Laden on a daily basis, and he would have a divine encounter like Paul did. Well, I don't think it ever happened. But let's pray. You know, let's not live in fear. As a kingdom people, we are called to advance with power and with authority. We'll come to that more in a moment. But let's pray for these terrorists. Let's pray. Thank God. We hear stories all the time about the Spirit of God or Jesus himself appearing to Muslims. Tremendous testimonies we hear all the time. More narrowly, the kingdom of God is a spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those who willingly submit to God's authority. So we can just say the kingdom of God basically is the rule of God. And we always have to ask ourselves the question, who is ruling my life? Is it God or is it self? It basically boils down to that. It doesn't have to be elaborate or complex. And I thank God tonight that the kingdom, it's not based on earthly culture. It's not based on economic status or educational status or any kind of status. The kingdom of God is made up of all peoples, of all nations, tribes, kindreds, and people. And one day in Revelation it says all these people will come together, they'll bow before the Lamb, and they'll cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Hallelujah, we're part of that kingdom. We're part of that vast array of people who worship the Lord. Now, Jesus was before Pilate, and he said in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." And so Jesus stood there. He realized what his calling was. He knew that he was going to the cross. And he wasn't, he didn't want to go to the cross. He said, "Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And because of his submission to the divine will of the Father, he was able to accomplish the mission that God sent him to do. Now, people inherit the kingdom of God when their wills become aligned with God's will. And so I ask the question this evening, is our will aligned with God's will? And the key is, am I willing to surrender, Bishop Giles, am I willing to surrender my entire will to the Lord? That comes very difficult at times. Sometimes there's people rub us the wrong way. Sometimes there's people just irritate us. Sometimes there's fleshly appetites that are out there appealing to our mind and our heart, and it affects our finances, it affects what we look at, it affects every aspect of our being. But the question is my will aligned to the will of the Father? And so when we connect our will with the will of God, we are connected to the very life and power of God. And the reason I think so many Christians, quote Christians, struggle today is because they're in this two worlds. They're following their own will, but they're also trying to follow God's will. And so as a result, there's a lack of power. There's a lack of direction. There's a lack of motivation or zeal in their life. We need to surrender our will to the Father. And what is the result? When we do it, we will be filled with unearthly peace, strength, and love. And this is the fruit, the harvest, and the result of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so those who live in the kingdom of God, they are filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. When we're filled with the kingdom, when we're in the kingdom of God, we are filled with the Spirit of God. But those who defy God, those who defy God's authority are not part of the kingdom. Now, the Bible speaks a lot about the kingdom of God. And we all know that there's a present aspect of the kingdom and there's a future aspect of the kingdom. And we'll probably never fully understand and realize the total aspect of the kingdom until we'll finally arrive home with our Heavenly Father in the future kingdom of God. But Matthew 10, 7 and 8 says, Jesus said, he sent out his disciples, he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." As Bishop Martin shared already this evening, these are not our hands, they're God's hands. And so God has given us authority, has given us power, he's given us a motivation, and he calls us to exercise that authority in the name of Jesus. Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And so there's an, sometimes as Anabaptists, we don't like to talk about violence. But we need to exercise a holy violence against those things that would try to lure us away from God's purposes and plans for our life. And so we need to exercise that holy violence if we're going to advance the kingdom of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus that we enter the kingdom through the new birth. And then Jesus also said, seek first the kingdom of God. Para los que hablan español, más buscar primeramente el reino de Dios y su justicia y todas estas cosas os serán añadidas. That was the first verse I learned in Spanish. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek the kingdom of God first. And then somebody asked one day, well, who can get into the kingdom? And then Jesus brought a little child, and he says, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom. And then he said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I was sharing this recently. Pastor Pedro and Sister Amy were, along with Sister Anita, oh, there she is. I thought I heard an amen over here. Sister Anita, wave your hand. She's our HFC missionary to Haiti, from Haiti, lives in Bridgeport, Connecticut, but has established a tremendous mission in Haiti, in a remote part of Haiti, a place where she grew up as a child. And I could talk a lot about that. I won't go down that trail. But on our last trip in February, people, pastors and other people came from other parts of the community. Some probably walked several miles to get there. And then for about three and a half hours, they sat on chairs, and some sat on little narrow planks like this. Those of you who traveled internationally will know what I'm talking about, the endurance that some people experience in those kinds of settings. And they're sitting there, and I was giving some introduction to the kingdom, somewhat similar to what I'm doing right at this moment. And I came to that part, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the Holy Spirit just like opened my eyes, and I felt like God wanted to bring a mighty, powerful shift in the spirit in that region. And I told the group, let's everybody stand up. Let's just begin to cry out to the Lord. Pray with all your heart. And the people stood there, Pastor Pedro and Amy. It was just incredible. The Spirit of God just moved in that room. I felt such a shift in my spirit. And there was just this tremendous sense of the presence of the Lord. It was one of the most powerful moments I ever experienced in my life. And praise the Lord, that week, Brother Jonas, Sister Anita's brother was along as a translator and serving. And all week long, there was a voodoo priest who lived close by. He came over and they were interacting all week long. And that guy was kind of wild to look at, but kind of scary. But you know, praise God, by the end of the week, the power of God reached that man's heart. And that voodoo priest accepted Jesus Christ. He received Christ. We saw the power of God manifest. There was another young man one night in the outreach, came forward. He said, last Sunday, my father wanted to transfer the powers of voodoo to me. But he says, I don't want it. And then he came forward that night and said, I want to receive Christ. I don't know, how many were there? 25 or so people accepted Christ? 30-something, okay. And so that week, and the other beautiful thing that we saw that week were 29 people, 29 couples getting married at the same time. There was just a tremendous move of God. And so God, by His Spirit, He wants to move sovereignly. He wants to move supernaturally. I'm sure many of you tonight could give testimonies to God's move by His Spirit. Okay, where am I at here? Okay, thank you, Lord. Okay, here we are. And then Jesus taught about the parables of the kingdom. He taught about the mustard seed, the pearl, great price, the sower, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. And if you turn with me in your Bible for a moment, I think it's in, Matthew 13. Matthew 13, I didn't write it down here, but I think that's where we find this. I just saw something just a couple days as I was meditating on this. Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower. And I'm not going to go through all of this, but he says in verse 3, then he told them many things in parables. A farmer went out to sow seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. If you go over to verse 19 or 18, he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. And for years when I read this scripture, I always thought, well, okay, you know, Pastor Miller, he loves to go out on the street, witness, and you're sowing seed. And a lot of people say thank you, but they never really respond. The enemy just comes and snatches it away. But something I felt the Holy Spirit showed me this week is that the Lord, by His Spirit, is sowing the seed of the kingdom in the body of Christ. At least the seed should be being sown. But when the seed is sown, so many times the enemy comes in, he snatches away the truth of God's Word. And we begin to believe the lies of the enemy. We begin to believe that we're not capable, we can't do this, we can't do that, I'm not forgiven. Whatever it is, the enemy comes in to the body of Christ and snatches away the seed. Do you ever find that, Pastor Miller? Bishop Miller, you find that the enemy comes and he snatches away the good seed. So it's not just the worldly people out there. It's the body of Christ to allow the enemy to come in and snatch away the seed. And that's why the kingdom of God is not advancing. That's why we see such lifeless spirit many times in the church, because the enemy is snatching away the seed. So what's the result? When we connect our will with the will of God, okay, so when he snatches away, and so Satan wants to keep people ignorant about the kingdom in order to render us ineffective. Was it Haggai who said, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge? So in the end of Jesus' life in Acts 1:3, it says he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. So Jesus taught, he preached, he demonstrated, and he sent his disciples out with the message of the kingdom. And at the end of his life, he sat there with his disciples for 40 days, teaching them about the kingdom. So we can see that the kingdom of God was very, very important in the life of Jesus. I would have loved to be in those sessions. Brother Lou, I would have loved to be in those sessions to hear that teaching on the kingdom of God. Just one verse. But it says what he did, but it didn't say all that he talked about. So, when Jesus preached, taught, and demonstrated the kingdom, it was in huge contrast to the religious leaders. We see time and time again in the Bible where they looked at Jesus and said, isn't this just the son of a carpenter? Isn't this Joseph's son? He's from Nazareth. Does any good thing come out of Nazareth? And yet they saw power. They saw authority in the life of Jesus. There was something different from the religious establishment of that day. And so it's time, I believe, for us, church, to move from religious thinking and activity to kingdom thinking and activity. It's time to move from religious thinking and activity to kingdom thinking and activity. And we could talk a long time what that would look like. And then the Apostle Paul also spoke about the kingdom. In Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we know also that when the persecution came to the church, the disciples were scattered into various parts of the region. And as they were scattered, Philip went down to Samaria, and he began to preach. He was a deacon. He was also an evangelist. He began to preach. And he began to manifest signs and wonders. And the Bible says there in Samaria, there was great joy in that city. God wants to bring great joy to our city. He wants to bring great joy to Elizabethtown, to Reading, to Bridgeport, Connecticut, to New York, the Bronx, New York, to every village, every community, Waterbury. He wants to bring great joy to your city. And that's going to happen when we exercise and preach and teach and exercise and demonstrate the kingdom of God. Paul also says the wicked will not inherit the kingdom. In Colossians 1:13-14, I always love this verse, for he rescued us from the dominion of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his Son. So this is our position in Christ. We're no longer bound up. We're no longer in slavery to sin. Hallelujah. We are set free. We are members of his kingdom. We have been given all authority. We have been given all power. All grace is given to us. Everything that we need for life and godliness. And then we see Paul at the end of his life. You know, he was in prison in Rome. Actually, he was chained to a guard in Acts 28:30-31. It says he stayed 2 full years. In his own rented quarters, and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. So, not only did Jesus at the end of his life sit with his disciples and talk about the kingdom, but the Apostle Paul at the end of his life, for 2 years, people were coming and he was preaching about the kingdom of God. And so, my challenge here tonight, if the kingdom of God was a high priority for Jesus and Paul, it certainly must be a high priority for us in our life. Very, very quickly, just some basic aspects of a kingdom lifestyle, and I don't have scripture basically on this, but number one, full submission to God. We talked about that in contrast to partial submission. God wants full obedience, and it leads me quickly to the second point. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. In contrast to compartmentalizing one's life in Christ. Number three, be full of the Holy Spirit, including fruit. In contrast to allowing fleshly actions and attitudes to keep welling up. Listen, the world is looking at us, and George Barna has done research which unfortunately says that when the world looks at the Christian, they don't really see a lifestyle all that much different than people in the world. That is a disgrace. That is a shame to the name of Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed. We've been set free. We've been translated into the kingdom of God by the power of the cross, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He has forgiven us. He has released us. He has imparted to us the Holy Spirit. He has filled us with His Spirit. As Peter said, He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And so there's no room for bad attitudes. No room for bad actions. No room for just stupid acting in the kingdom of God. People get offended so easily, so quickly. People have been in the church 10, 15 years. Next thing you know, they're upset because somebody didn't look at them right. Somebody didn't talk to them in the right way. Somebody ignored them, whatever. This goes on far too much in the body of Christ. People can be very active one day. They're even leading worship. They're even doing this or that or whatever in the church. And then something happens. And they get upset. And we don't, that's not what it means to be full of the Spirit. We need to be full of faith and trust in contrast to constantly dealing with doubts, fears, and discouragement. Yes, we're going to have days of doubt. We're going to have some fears. We're going to have discouragement. But they should not be the besetting thing in our life. We need to exercise faith, a growing trust in God. This is the God of the universe, the one who saved us, the one who rules over all. Let's put our faith and trust completely in Him. And number five, maintain intimate communion with God in contrast to living in the flesh. John 3:6 says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. I'm sure somebody else will talk about it this week in John 15, without me you can do nothing, Jesus said. So just one example of a kingdom man before we quickly go to the last point on passion. A life such as Joseph always has the presence of God. If you just turn quickly to Genesis 39, verse 2 to 5. You know the story of Joseph, sold by his brothers to Egypt. He ends up in Potiphar's house. And it says in Genesis 39, the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and lived in the house of Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of the household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. And down a little bit later it says, the blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had with Joseph in charge. Now here's a kingdom man. He was put in Potiphar's house, and it says whatever he did prosper. And so you see, wherever the presence of the Lord is, there is authority. Here's the principle. Wherever the presence of the Lord is, there is authority. Whether in our life individually, rather in the ministry, in our home, in our marriage, whatever the situation, wherever the presence of the Lord is, there is authority. And Joseph demonstrated this in his life. Even when he went to prison, he was thrown into prison. In verse 23, it says, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Even in prison, he was successful. Hallelujah. So in the presence of the Lord, Joseph was prospered by him. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is not only the Lord's authority, but also prosperity brought about by the Lord's sovereignty. And this leads me to the last point in the third P, and that is passion. We talked about our priorities, and we talked about purpose, living a kingdom lifestyle, and passion. And the theme for this conference is cultivating God's presence. And I believe when we cultivate God's presence, we will effectively fulfill God's purpose to live a kingdom lifestyle. And in so doing, our priorities will be correct. It's just something the Lord gave me, so let me read that again. When we cultivate God's presence, we will effectively fulfill God's purpose to live a kingdom lifestyle. And in so doing, our priorities will be correct. And so that's how the three kind of move together. I'd just like to talk just a little bit about the word passion before we just close off then with Psalm 63. The passion is a driving force of energy that shapes a person's lifestyle, thinking, and action until that person sees the total fulfillment of what they're pursuing. That's a quotation from Jonathan David in his book, Apostolic Strategies. So you see, many times we say, wow, I just wish I could be a kingdom person. But a wish is a passive mental thought pattern with the expectation of seeing it sometime in the future. And so we could say, well, I wish that I could really just see God move and work in my life in a powerful way. But the question is there a passion? Because if there is a passion, then you will move earth and heaven to be able to reach that goal. And I think in the body of Christ today, we are lacking a lot of passion. I speak to myself, number one, here tonight, because we are all called to live, I believe, a passionate lifestyle for God. So are we passionate about cultivating God's presence? Now let's turn just very quickly to Psalm 63, and we'll just close off with a few points here. In Psalm 63, this is written at a time when David was under a lot of pressure. His son Absalom conspired against him, pushing him out of Jerusalem, and David fled to the desert. We know as he is going out of town, it's not a pretty picture. The Bible actually said he was weeping as he was going out. He's fleeing the city. Some friends are going with him. Other people that he counted on, deserted him. And remember the story of, was it Shimei or something like that? He was throwing sticks and rocks at the king of all people as he was going by. But you see, David, in this setting, he didn't make any petition. He didn't say, God, get me out of here. Get me out of the desert. He pens a psalm. And David's priority was to seek the Lord's. And I thought tonight, Sonia, based on what Bishop Martin has shared, as you're sitting up there, just singing your heart out for the Lord in light of your condition, I said, this is a living testimony of Psalm 63. Not in lament, not sitting back in doubt or question, I'm sure you'll have those moments, but praising God as you saw her demonstrate here tonight, a sincere act of worship before the Lord. And so if we make our priority to seek the Lord with a passion, we will be able to fulfill our purpose. If we seek the Lord with a passion, we will be able to fulfill our purpose. So what does it mean to cultivate the presence of God? Verse 1, it says, David said, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. You are my God. David said, you are my God. He personalized it. God is our God. And he means to desire more of him. And there will always be more to know. We'll never know the full extent of God and His power. But He means to pursue God alone to fulfill any vacuum in your life. It means to pursue God alone to fulfill or to fill any vacuum in your life. And David was crying out to God to get those things he lost back in his life. He wanted more of God. So in this hour of trial, he could have been crying out in a negative way. But in this hour of trial, he says, Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. And already here this evening, the question was asked, how many of you are going through a trial or a test right now in your life? This is the cry of God for you tonight. This is the word of the Lord for you tonight. Earnestly seek Him. Cry out to Him. Discover His love and grace for you. Verse 3, David said, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. We need to put love for God at the center of our relationship with Him. And verse 8, he says, my soul clings to you. And the Hebrew word here points to loyalty related to affection, such as a man to his wife, or the story of Ruth clinging to Naomi, saying, where you go, I will go. It's that kind of an idea of clinging. And so relationship with the Lord, comparable to marriage relationship, there's intense feelings of emotional. There's a lifelong commitment in keeping your passion for the Lord alive. To cultivate the presence of the Lord means to keep our passion for the Lord alive. It means spending time with the Lord. And not in a drudgery or not in a habitual way that just is like, okay, I've got to fill this hour here. What am I going to do? No, it's a delight. We come into His presence with joy, with gratitude, with thanksgiving. He becomes the center, the hub of our life, and He affects everything that we do in life, the decisions, what we buy, what we look at, where we go. All these things are important. So what does a person look like who cultivates the presence of God? In verse 5, it says, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of food. So there's an inner satisfaction. Never complacent, but they're satisfied. In verse 6, 7, and 8, this person has inner joy. They have inner stability. They have strength. A.W. Tozer, a great author, evangelist, preacher, teacher, he said, the world is perishing for lack of the knowledge of God, and the church is famishing for want of His presence. These are his words. The instant cure of most of our religious ills would be to enter the presence in spiritual experience, to become suddenly aware that we are in God and God is in us. This would lift us out of our pitiful narrowness and cause our hearts to be enlarged. These are penetrating words, but they are so powerful words. So I believe having right priorities enables us to have a clear focus and direction. And knowing our purpose and function as kingdom citizens enables us to advance God's kingdom and have a passion to cultivate God's presence enables us to set right priorities and fulfill our purpose as kingdom citizens. And I believe that in these days together that the Lord wants to cultivate God's presence. I believe He wants to cultivate more and more His presence in our life. I'm going to declare a faith declaration over you. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I accepted Jesus when I was 10 at an evangelistic meeting at our church. And for the next 7 years I lived, I would say, a good life, but it wasn't really, I can't say it was really like a close relationship with the Lord. But in my 17th year, I was a senior in high school at Lancaster Mennonite High School, and I had a teacher there. There were several teachers that impacted my life. One was Raymond Charles, and he was teaching Bible doctrine. And to be truthful, the only set of notes that I have from high school are a set of notes that I typed up from his class. That's a good many years ago, and I still have that notebook in my class, all the doctrines of the Bible. And he also had made a trip around the world that year under Eastern Mennonite Missions, came back, talked to our class, and it just like spoke to me in a fresh way. And then at Christmas time that year, my sister gave me a book for Christmas, The Cross and the Switchblade by Dave Wilkerson. And that book so impacted my life. I had never heard of Dave Wilkerson, but as you know, he went to New York City. I think all of you know who Dave Wilkerson is. But he had seen these gang members kill these people in New York City. This country preacher went to the city and began this amazing ministry, which is reaching probably literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. Well, As I read that book, I felt the stirring of God within me just to surrender. And at the beginning of the year, my father, who was Auerbach Order, was pastor of the church there on the Welsh Mountain. The first sermon that he preached in that year, 1964. Now you're going to all 1963. Now you're all going to calculate how old I am. I'm 71. Anyhow, Raymond, or my dad preached a sermon, Where Will You Spend Eternity? And this many years later, I remember that sermon. The second sermon that was preached was by our deacon, and he preached, Remember Lot's Wife. Think of that. I can remember back those sermons. The next week, our bishop came, Claire Eby, some of you know him, and he preached a sermon, Be Still and Know That I Am God. I can't remember any more sermons that year, but those three I remember. But Claire, at the end of his sermon, he said, I want to challenge all of you to go somewhere, to get alone with God, to be quiet, to listen, and to receive what He wants to say to you. That was in January. I think it was a nice warm Sunday in March. I went out into the mountains of the Welsh Mountain. I used to hike the hills there. And stopped along the Gott Road and walked up a trail into the mountain. And, didn't expect this. I sat down on a log. The the tangible presence of God was so real. I remember just like it happened a couple hours ago. It was so real. And in that moment, I says, Lord, here I am. Take me, use me, whatever you want to do in my life. Chipmunks were scurrying around in the leaves. I arose from that place with such a tremendous peace. And I thank God for His grace that has caused me all these years since to cultivate His presence. There are times, I confess, it's not been what I would like it to be. Other times, you feel that closeness. But God wants us to be still and know that He is God. In the chaos and confusion, the world in which we're living, God wants you to bring your pressures, your anxieties, your fears, the complexities of your life, your ministry, your marriage, whatever it is. He appeals, the Lord of the universe, the sovereign Lord over all. He says, I love you with an everlasting love. My grace is sufficient to meet every need. I created you for a purpose, and in that purpose to demonstrate my kingdom to a lost and dying world, a world that is broken. And we are called to be His kingdom agents. Think of it. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And so I pray that God would give us the right priorities in life so that we'd be able to fulfill this kingdom purpose and do it with passion for the glory of God and His kingdom. Let's pray. Father God, Heavenly Father, You're so good, so merciful, so kind to us. And we thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Many, many times, Lord, we have fallen short of doing Your will. We have pursued that fleshly path or followed our own inclinations. But I thank You that time and time again, we can come back to the cross. And there we find that healing. We find that forgiveness. We find the grace to bring restoration. Father, we bless You tonight. We give You thanks, Lord. We praise You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Tonight, Father, I believe You're stirring in many hearts, O God, just to lay their life on the altar anew, Father, for fresh passion. Fresh passion to cultivate Your presence. Lord, we just offer ourselves to You tonight. I offer myself to You tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, we come to You, Father, with gratitude and thanks, Lord. I just want to extend an invitation here. Let's just have a period of let's just not be conversing with one another. I just want to open the altar tonight. I just believe that there are people here, many perhaps, just want to come and lay your life again before the Lord and say, Lord, I desire fresh passion. I desire fresh purpose in my life. I just want to set right priorities in my life. Just feel free to come. Let's not tarry. Let's not wait. Just come, and we'll be happy to pray over you, anoint you with oil, whatever it is. Just have no fears. The altar is open here tonight. I invite other ministers.